presenting America's favorite, the NBC Breakfast Club, with Don McNeil.
Good morning, we like to see you smile. Good morning, it makes your life worthwhile. It's now first call to breakfast, and marching time is here. So why not march and listen? We'll play it for you here. Good morning, this comes right from the heart. Good morning, let's go to time to start. Well, our songs and laugh appeal serve to brighten up your
meal.
Good morning,
take a cue
from
John. All right, friends, as we have every morning, but with even more spirit, we march for the United States Armed Forces, wherever they may be. Everybody, march! Nancy, let's do a little play this morning,
shall
we?
Oh, fine. Let's do.
The scene is the college in College Park, Georgia.
Well, you're getting lots of new ones lately.
Oh,
yes. No more Dad in Fort Now.
Well, we'll come back to that sometime or other.
About time I quit using the old Miller.
All right. Okay, Nancy, I am the professor and you're a student, see?
Uh-huh.
And you come into my office and you say...
Oh, Professor, you're wonderful.
This is...
Did you read the paper I turned in for the exam? Oh, good. Let me kiss you, Professor. There. Oh, whatever do you think of me now that I've kissed you?
Hey, you'll pass.
Oh, oh. Not that I doubt the love that you have for me. The warmth that is in your skin. Although our skies are clear, if ever clouds appear, shine, each summer's breathing.
Let's enter into a party.
Nancy. It's lovely indeed. Say, Joe, brush off a nice chord in G for me, will you? Because I would like you to send it all the way to Kansas City, Missouri, where station KCMO, I am informed, is inaugurating their joining of the network this morning by taking the Breakfast Club, which they will take from now on. Jack Stewart, the genial general manager of radio station KCMO in Kansas City, Missouri, informs me, and we're mighty happy to have him with us. Shoot him a chord in G, will you, Joe, boy? There you are, Kansas City. Well, being with you and well, having you with us. Hope you will be for a long time with us around the breakfast table of the air. Go and talk to a couple of our Breakfast Club friends here this morning who are with us. For example, we have a fellow named Willard Dean of Shreveport, your old hometown, Louisiana,
Jack.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
Leaving for South America.
Where is the man?
Huh? I don't know.
Where is the man? Oh, way back there, huh? Would you mind coming over here and meeting me halfway? Okay, as long as you're going away to South America, why, you won't mind a little trip like this. Where are you going to go in South America, sir?
It's British West Indies, off the coast of South America.
Off the coast of South America. Fine, when are you leaving?
Leave this afternoon, 3:30.
Oh, is that so? You're flying down, or?
Boat.
Boat, huh? Well, fine. Willard, best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
And when you get back, drop in and see us again, will you?
I'll certainly do.
All right, well, boy. We have a lady with a very nice name. If I can pronounce it, Anna DeLucia. I think that would be. That's the way you pronounce Santa DeLucia. She's from Chicago, I believe. Is that pronounced right?
DeLuca.
DeLuca.
That's right.
I thought two C's were ch.
No, it's
C. Well, pardon me for when I said ch. I didn't mean to to get you there. You're looking for a job, are you?
That's right.
Fine. I have to show you going looking for a job.
That's right.
What kind of job are you looking for?
Clerical
work, huh? Well, I hope you find it. After you do, sneak off sometime. Come back here and tell us about it, will you? All right, well.
John.
Yes, Jack?
Maybe I could use a secretary, but there are a few requirements that I would ask.
Oh, I see. What, for example?
Well, you suppose she'd be able to sit on my knee and take a letter? Sure.
Jack, anybody that could find your knee when you're sitting down would have to be a magician, not a secretary. Have we got Guy Matson with us this morning around the breakfast table? On this? Where is he? I don't see him. No. We have him. What? Mrs. Guy Matson is here? Well, how do you do, Mrs. Matson? How are you?
Good,
fine.
Fine, thank you.
You're not Guy.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. We take you now to London.
The new dangers, either here or in the United States. The enemy is attacked with an audacity which may spring from recklessness, but which might also spring from conviction of strength. We have no reason to doubt, said Mr. Churchill, the justice of our cause, or that our strength and willpower will be sufficient to sustain it. We have at least 4/5 of the population of the globe upon our side. We are responsible for their safety and for their future. In the past, we had a light which flickered in the present. We have a light at present. We have a light which flames, and in the future, there will be a light which shines over all the land and sea. Mr. Churchill has now finished speaking in the House of Commons. Most observers, I think, will agree that this was not one of Churchill's great examples of oratory. He was sober, dignified, and calm.
Mr. Churchill has just said that when we think of the insane ambition and the insatiable appetite which have caused this vast and melancholy extension of the war, we can only feel that Hitler's madness has infected the Japanese minds, and that the root of the evil and its branch must be extirpated together. The Prime Minister went on to say that it is of the highest importance that there should be no underrating of the gravity of the new dangers that Britain has to meet with here or in the United States. The enemy has attacked with an audacity, he said, which may spring from recklessness, but which may also spring from a conviction of strength. And Mr. Churchill predicted that the war may probably be long.
After Mr. Churchill was finished, a general debate began. The first speaker was Mr. Lee Smith of Labor, who pointed out the old question which is bothering many British people here today, which is what's going to happen to American supplies to Britain. And this is what Mr. Lee Smith said. A consequence of Japan's aggression might be that the equipment of the United States might be delayed and to some extent diverted. This was an occasion, therefore, he said, which again called for unceasing toil from the workers of this country.
Members of the House of Commons, it was noted today, cheered loudly when Mr. Churchill said that British forces had engaged the Japanese who began landing in British territory in northern Malaya about 6 a.m., 1 a.m. local time, yesterday. It's being pointed out by observers in London today that the Japanese attack followed traditional Japanese lines because the Japanese started their war with Russia 35 or so years ago by attacking Port Arthur before declaring war. And the Japanese followed Hitler's technique in picking the opponent who looks the toughest and hitting him with everything you have.
One of the things which British observers, as I said, are bothered about is the possible decrease of American supplies to Britain. And one of the things they're pleased about is the fact that America seems to be unified as never before. Mr. Lee Smith, the labor rights speaker who followed Mr. Churchill in the House of Commons, tied these two together. And he said that Japan's attack on the United States and the consequent possibility of a delay in American equipment might be an occasion which called for unceasing toil from the workers of this country and should unify this country more than anything else. The rest of the meeting in the House of Commons is still going on. The sitting lasted only half an hour.
Before news of the Japanese declaration of war on Britain arrived here yesterday, there wasn't the slightest trace of hesitancy in Britain. The British, by that I mean everyone, were ready to move at once against Japan in fulfillment of Mr. Churchill's pledge to America. The Japanese declaration of war against this country and Japanese attacks on the British Empire have only deepened the British determination to smash the Axis.
The half-hour sitting in the House of Commons is now finished. Mr. Churchill has made his speech in which he announced that Great Britain is at war with Japan. And now the House has finished its sitting, and we have no more news of it, and now we return you to our studios in New York.
Keep tuned to this station for further news. We return you to our regular programs.